Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to the Birth Worker Podcast. You're listening to episode 132. And today's episode is about embracing the emotional ups and downs of birth work and business and life. Now, I want to tell you guys what's been going on in my life. If you follow me on Instagram, you definitely already know what I'm about to say. The first thing that I will say before I go into what's going on in my life is that this episode topic has been planned for like 6 months. So it is so interesting to me that this is the topic that we are covering today, which is embracing the emotional ups and downs of birth work and life and business, because I am currently going through a miscarriage. I, last week at this time, was about 10 weeks pregnant. And a couple days before that, I decided to go get an ultrasound because I had been having some bleeding, spotting on and off very, very little for a couple of weeks. And my gut told me to go get an ultrasound. And when I did, I found out that the baby inside me had no heartbeat. And actually, at that ultrasound appointment, the ultrasound tech told me that there were two babies inside of me. And I, after that moment, it kind of confirmed what I had already thought based on the bleeding. I thought I had lost my pregnancy. And then I went into this zone, this energy of acceptance, right? Of accepting the fact that not only am I having a miscarriage, but it was twins. And I will be honest that the hardest part of the entire miscarriage was the fact that it was what I thought was twins, which we'll get into in a minute. But the thing that made me cry the hardest was the fact that I was pregnant with twins and I blew it. Like, I blew my only chance to ever have twins because it's probably not ever going to happen again. And I cried a lot of tears over that. You know, if you've been around since my ectopic pregnancy with the baby that we named Remy, you'll know that I deal with these things in my life, sad things, unexpected things, death. I deal with them in a very different way than most people. And a lot of people have questions about how I handle these situations, how I stay so, what people say is positive. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. We're going to be talking about failure and setbacks and stress and overwhelm and finding joy in life and finding balance in life and all of those things. But I will tell you that as soon as I had that ultrasound and I found out that my baby, or what I thought was babies, had died, I entered this journey of acceptance, because I have heard stories of babies, dead babies, staying inside their mom for up to 4 months is the longest that I've heard. And I knew for me that I really wanted my miscarriage to happen at home. I wanted it to happen free from medical intervention, free from anybody telling me what to do. I just wanted it to be, you know, in my own space. And this miscarriage was so different than my ectopic pregnancy in so many ways, because my ectopic pregnancy was not in my uterus. So I didn't really have bleeding. I didn't really have cramping until my ovary ruptured. And then, of course, that was, you know, probably up there with like the end of labor pain. But I just didn't really have bleeding. I didn't have cramping. That being said, too, when we lost Remy with my ectopic pregnancy, we were in the middle of a move. So we didn't buy any baby things. Like, we didn't have a crib. We didn't have baby clothes. We didn't like buy any of this stuff. I didn't focus on the pregnancy that much. And Remy and I had a very good like spiritual relationship. The second I conceived, I knew it was a girl. She told me her name was Remy. I cannot explain it. It is some, like, there's no words to explain, like, what it felt like, or it was just, like, instant knowledge of, like, oh, I'm pregnant, and it's a girl, and her name's Remy. It was very strange, and to be honest, that didn't happen with this pregnancy. So I entered this, I went to the ultrasound, I found out my baby or babies had died, and I entered this space of, like, okay, this could take a while. Should I rest? People tell me to rest. Everyone says to rest, but this could be 2 months, this could be 3 months, this could be 4 months. So you know what? I got to a place where I was like, I am just going to live my life. And the day that I found that acceptance is a day that I decided to go on a hike, which I am like such a huge fan of being out in nature. But I went on a hike with Barry and Leela. It was like a 2 mile hike through a state park here in South Carolina. It was phenomenal. It felt hard. I definitely was like breathing pretty hard. And when I got back, when I got back home, we hung out for a little bit. We got back home super late because it was kind of far away and we stayed out pretty late. So like the sun had set. And when we got home, Leela wanted to take a bath with me. And so I said, yeah, of course, let's take a bath. So I got into the bath, and immediately when I got into the bath, I went to the bathroom right before getting into the bath, and I noticed that my random spotting every few days turned into almost like a period amount of blood. So I knew that potentially this miscarriage was going to happen soon. And immediately when I got into the bath, I started feeling a little bit of cramping. I am very lucky that my story is that the cramping of this actual miscarriage lasted less than 15 minutes and was not as bad as period pain. It was not as bad as gas pain. It was like very, very mild, which now that I look back at Leela's birth explains why I did not feel any like early labor at all. Like the first contractions I felt were like 1 minute long with 1 minute break. Like I totally did not feel early labor. And it's not that early labor didn't happen. I just didn't feel it. So same with this miscarriage. My cervix opened, I would say probably like 2 or 3 centimeters based on the size of what came out. So I laid in the bath having a little bit of cramping. Cramping finished after about 15 minutes, and I laid there just scrolling TikTok. And when I felt like getting out, I shifted my body. And when I got onto like my hands and knees to get out of the bathtub, I felt something come out of me. And when I looked down, my entire sac was intact, and that had come out of me and was floating in the water. So I grab it with my hands. At this point, I'm in the bath by myself because very quickly I told Leela, you're splashing me too much. You need to get out. So Leela and I started the bath together, but she got out almost immediately. So I grab my sac in my hands and I scream for Barry and I scream for Leela because I just wanted him to come with like a bowl or something that I could put this in. And I just didn't want to be alone in this moment. I wanted him to like witness this too. So he came with a cup or like a little bowl, and I put the sack in the bowl. And in that moment, I was so grateful because one of my fears of this miscarriage was that it would happen in a toilet, or like the baby or babies or sack, whatever, would come out in a toilet or would come out when I'm not at home, and like I wouldn't be able to honor it as I did. And you know, that's the story of a lot of people in my DMs right now, is that theirs did not happen like on their terms. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. I think that it has nothing to do with me, right? It has nothing to do with you. If you had a miscarriage in a McDonald's bathroom, which someone in my DM said this, has nothing to do with you, right? It's just how your story plays out, and it's how my story plays out. And I'm very grateful for the way that my story played out, which is probably a weird thing to say because my baby / babies died. So let's get into that even more. So once my sac came out, I now had a decision to make of, do I want to open the sack and look at my babies? What do I want to do? So I rinsed off the sack a little bit. I kept it in this bowl, and we like grabbed a flashlight to kind of see if we could see through it. And you know, we just couldn't really see through it very well. So we had a discussion of, let's just bury the babies together in this sack and let that be just like a very special thing. And I had some intuition tell me, you know what? No, you need to open this up and like take a look and see, like, are there two babies? Are they, I was told that there were two babies in one sack, which is mono-mono babies, which is identical babies that split like pretty late in the game. So they share a placenta, share a sack. It's called mono-mono twins. So I wanted to like see like what is going on, because I can't really see through the sack. So I'm sitting on my bed. I cut open the sack. Barry set up this little like tray with paper towels and stuff. And I cut open the sack, and it becomes very clear almost immediately that there's just one baby inside of this sack. There's just one baby inside of me, which in some really weird way was the biggest relief and closure that I could feel. Because remember in my story, like one of the saddest parts for me is that I thought that I blew my chance with twins. And so to find out that there was just one baby inside of me was such an interesting feeling. And I want to be clear that it's not that I'm like not sad that I had a miscarriage with just one baby. It's not like I'm not sad that my baby died. I will say maybe how I want to describe it is that I have very happy memories and a very happy relationship with like the souls that come down into the babies inside of me. This baby, her name was Poppy. I did not have that instant feeling that I had with Remy. So with Remy, again, when I conceived, I knew immediately that there was a baby inside of me. Her name was Remy. I'm pregnant, like immediately when I conceived. This was not like that. So just to give some more context too, this was a total surprise pregnancy. We were not actively trying. My period was about, I don't know, one day late. And I was like, oh my God, let me take a pregnancy test. And it was positive. So it was definitely a surprise. Barry and I were going through some like rocky times that honestly for the last couple of months, maybe even a year, but like really specifically, like right after we conceived Poppy. And so it was definitely like this like soul contract or something, if you will. I even like joke with Barry and with some of my best friends that like it quite possibly potentially could have been like the last time that we were intimate. And we got pregnant, and almost immediately after, our relationship like took a turn for the worse, and we were just not in a happy relationship. And it was so funny, you know, 3 weeks after that, essentially, to find out I was pregnant. And it was just like, I don't know, God speaking directly to me, and God or the universe or however I in the moment and describing what I believe, kind of like told me what my destiny was. And it was really quite funny and twisted and hilarious, and brought us a little bit closer back together as far as our partnership goes. And it was a really interesting dynamic and interesting thing that we went through. And so I'm very grateful to Poppy for coming in and bringing some happiness and making me laugh and making me see like how funny life can be sometimes, and how like we're not in control of what goes on in our life as much as we think that we can be or think that we are. So that is my whirlwind of a story. I miscarried Poppy very late on Saturday night. Today it is very late on Tuesday night. So I'm still very much actively bleeding, wearing a diaper. I'm glad I'm a doula, because I have all of these like birth things in my birth box. So I have diapers and everything that I would need. But yeah. So the question that I'm getting in my inbox is just, how do you do it? Like, how do you find joy? How do you keep going? How are you able to talk about it? How are you able to like share these pictures to social media? I create a highlight on my social media, my personal account, The Autonomy Mommy, and created a highlight and shared the pictures that we took of my sack and of Poppy, who was, just so you guys know, who was about 8 weeks gestation. So about maybe like 2 centimeters in length, and the sac was maybe, you know, 3 centimeters across. Yeah. So how do I do it? And then I look at this podcast episode that I'm supposed to be recording. It comes out like literally in 6 hours from the time of recording this. And literally earlier today, I was like, okay, got to make the podcast for tomorrow. I pull it up. My team preps everything for me. So I pull it up. This episode has been prepped for months. I pull it up and I see that the title of the episode is Embracing the Emotional Ups and Downs of Birth, Work, and Business and life as well. So we pulled a couple questions that people have been asking now through this miscarriage, but also people have been asking just in my DMs or when they submit questions for the podcast. And so one of the questions that someone submitted is, Kylie, how do you deal with the setbacks? How do you deal with failure? How do you deal with business mistakes? How do you pick yourself up? They were wondering, like, what's my self-talk, or how do I like find the mojo to keep going? So I kind of brainstormed a couple things that work for me or that I do, just to share those with you today. Now, I don't want to pretend that this is like the only way to do it. This is like literally my personal experience. So these are some things that I do and that have worked for me. The first thing that I want to say is that I have always been really good at setting realistic goals. So in terms of like, how do you deal with failures? How do you deal with mistakes or setbacks? I will tell you that once my business kind of got off the ground, there weren't many failures because I was setting very realistic and achievable goals based on like numbers, not based on emotion. So for instance, if I, you know, I had my first $10,000 month, let's say, when I very first launched my birth course, I didn't say, okay, awesome, that's the first one. Now the next one, I'm going to go do $1 million launch. Like, that's what I want to do. That's my goal. No, not at all. I said, okay, how big was my social media following? What percentage of them converted into sales? Okay, if I'm going to launch in 3 months, let's say that the same percentage is going to convert into sales. And so I made goals based on the numbers, not based on the emotions. And that actually really helped me not have so many of those failures because I wasn't just like picking goals out of nowhere. Now, I will also say that throughout all of this, there's not only like business failures, but this goes for like life failures and stuff too, right? It also starts with like positive self-talk and acceptance on me not being in control of everything, and acceptance that everything is a learning process. So even if I have a setback, right, that setback in itself is something that I can analyze. I can see where I went wrong or what happened. And I very easily can identify lessons that are huge wins for me. So any setback I feel or I go through immediately is like, oof, this is a win because these are the things that I've learned. And again, that's not just business. That's like life too, right? So if you've been here a really long time, you know that I got married and divorced in my mid-20s. So I got married at 24 and divorced at 26. And that's another example where it's like people would say that, oh, like that's so sad. That's such a setback. That marriage was a failure. And that's one way to look at it. But what if you actually like look at it like, you know what? I actually learned so much. And find the good things about it, right? So for instance, in that marriage, we didn't have kids. That is an amazing thing. Like, thank God this marriage ended and we don't have kids and we don't have a house and we don't have cars, right? And we don't have like money to split. And I found the goodness in what other people would call a setback or a failure, right? And to be honest, that's also something that I can take in with this miscarriage. But I'm gonna circle back to how this can relate to a miscarriage too. So dealing with setbacks, I set realistic goals from the get-go. So there's just like less setbacks and failures, positive self-talk, right? So I'm reminding myself that my worth has nothing to do with like what I'm going through. So if a launch fails, if a client doesn't hire me, if a client fires me, whatever it is, like I just remind myself that that has nothing to do with me. And then something else that has helped a lot is finding support. So not going through any of this on my own. So you guys, you better believe that literally every minute of this entire business that I've grown, I've had a mentor. I've been actively paying people to be my coach or be my mentor from essentially the very beginning. And that's that investment has grown significantly. So my current mentor, her name's Emily, I paid her $25,000 to be my mentor. I did not start with that, right? You could say my very first mentor was the person who trained me at my doula training, right? But as soon as I would outgrow a mentor, I would invest in a new one. So I always had someone to talk to about everything that I was going through. And that definitely helped getting that outside lens. So when you're like having a failure or a setback and you're like in the middle of it, it can feel so consuming, like all consuming, like consumes your business and your life and your mind and everything. But when you have someone that knows you and knows your business and knows your personality that you can bounce ideas off of, and it doesn't feel like you're being a bother to them because you're paying them money as your mentor, that can really, really help. And the last thing that I want to say is that if you're ever feeling like a failure, I want you to reconnect with your why. Like, why are you doing this? Why did you even get into birth work to begin with? Because a lot of times if we are thinking of the failures and the setbacks and the mistakes, we're way too much in the ego. We're way too much in me, 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 and not enough in how can I serve my community? And I guarantee that you became a doula to serve women, to serve your community. That's why everyone gets into birth work, to help people have great experiences, to help them avoid bad experiences. No one gets into birth work for any other reason. So I'll just say that if you can reconnect with that, if you can ignore yourself, who cares about you? Like, who cares about your failures, right? This is not about you. This is about the woman who you're going to impact. And when you reconnect with that why, it just makes it so much easier to reignite that drive and to find your mojo again and to get back into things when things don't go so well. Now, this next question that someone asked is, Kylie, how do you manage the stress and the overwhelm in your life and make sure that it doesn't get into the way of your business? So someone in my DMs also asked, like, what am I actively doing to prevent these negative emotions? Negative is not the right word, but these heavy emotions. How am I preventing these heavy emotions from taking over, right? How am I managing my energy? What am I doing that's helpful to me? And this is where I wanted to like loop in the miscarriage stuff, because really what it comes down to, what I've done, again, this is about my story, right? So it's not the only way. It's just my personal testimony of what I've done. What have I done to, you know, manage the emotions, manage the stress, you know, manage my energy? I have radically changed my relationship with everything around me. And that's the truth. And it didn't start with this miscarriage. It didn't start with the birth of Leela. It started before that, not long before that, but it started even before I conceived Leela, where I had this almost like instant awakening of just realizing like my purpose in all of my life, right? Some people say that there are things that you control. Some people say that you control your emotions and your thoughts and how you act. I actually don't think you can control that much. I don't think you can control your thoughts. I don't think you can control your emotions, because just imagine being so royally pissed off and having someone tell you, you know, snap out of it. You're not going to snap out of it. Imagine being so royally sad. Like you would never be sad if you couldn't control your emotions, right? You would just snap out of it. So I actually don't think you can control your thoughts or your emotions, but I do think you can control your definition of your experience. And so that's what I mean when I say I radically changed my relationship with everything around me. And I took back that ownership of how I'm defining everything around me. And so I shit you not. Like, I am not kidding when I say that I believe in my core, with every cell in my being, I believe that what I am going through at any given moment is the best possible outcome, period. And that's not some like spiritual bypassing. This is not some like fake, I don't know, notes for a podcast. Like, I literally believe in my core that everything I'm going through is exactly what I'm supposed to be going through, and it is serving me in the best way possible. And I could take this, like, let me take it to like the deep end to kind of give you an example of what I mean. So I'm, you know, going through this miscarriage, right? Most people, their experience of this, their miscarriage, or their definition of what they're going through is that I am going through the worst case scenario, and if my baby would have lived, I would be happier. That would be more perfect. That would be better. And I don't like to play that game. I like to play the other side of that coin, which is my baby just died. What a beautiful experience that I had with this baby. And my baby dying is the best thing that could happen to me in this moment. Right? And that probably sounds really crazy, unless you're someone who also has gotten to this level of like radically changing your relationship with everything around you. But I could say, for instance, I could say that if my baby didn't pass away at 8 weeks, maybe my baby would have passed away at 40 weeks. Maybe my baby would have passed away at 2 years old. Maybe I would have died during labor, right? So maybe this baby passing away now is exactly what I need and that baby's soul needs or needed in this lifetime. That's my thought, right? That is it. And one of the things in my life that catapulted me instantly into this way of thinking was that divorce that I went through, because I remember thinking, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I thought, you know, 2 years ago, like 2 years when I got married to that person, I thought that this was the greatest thing in the world. I thought that he was the greatest thing in the world, right? And then 2 years later, 3 years later, I realized that, wow, I actually don't know shit. I don't know what's best for me. I thought what's best for me was that marriage, and obviously that's not true, right? And then I go through the divorce, and I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And then very quickly after that divorce, I met Barry. I got pregnant with Leela. I have Leela. And so I now look back at the divorce, where I used to say this is my rock bottom, this is the worst thing that's happened to me. And now I look back at it, and I define it as like, wow, that's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. If that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have met Barry. I wouldn't have Leela. And so I play that energy into everything. So even now with this miscarriage, I say, wow, I cannot wait to see what happens in my life that would have never happened if I hadn't had this miscarriage. And to be honest, it's like my entire life moving forward, right? Like, nothing in my entire life moving forward would have ever happened if I had not had this miscarriage. My future children would not be born if I had not had this miscarriage. And so you can't, in my opinion, like, I can't say that this miscarriage is the worst thing that ever happened to me, or even this miscarriage was quote unquote bad. Because if I were to say that this miscarriage is bad, then I'm saying that all of my future children are bad, because I wouldn't have them if it wasn't for this miscarriage, right? I would say that everything in my life is bad, because I wouldn't have the life that I have today if I didn't have this miscarriage. And so really, it's radically changing the way that you define the things that you are going through, radically changing the way that you define your thoughts, everything, right? Radically changing everything. And it kind of goes with, like, how do you find balance in your life? How do you find joy in your life? Not only is it radically changing the way that you view everything around you, but it's really embracing that autonomy at the same time. And y'all know, like, autonomy is like my favorite concept, where it's just like, do what you want. Like, screw everything else. Screw everybody else. Like, live for yourself. Do what you want. And that's something that I have, like, for better or worse, probably a little bit, like, too much, that most people probably look at me and think, wow, like, do you ever think about anyone else? And of course I do, but I really, really, like, love autonomy. Like, I love making decisions for myself. And I think it makes me a better human, a better person, a better mom, a better business owner. I just love autonomy. But also, how do I find this balance and joy in my life? Is I really embrace going with the flow. And it's just like birth, right? It's like birth and business. Going with the flow doesn't mean that you just let everyone else make decisions for you. It's autonomy plus going with the flow. It's, no, I'm going to make the decisions for myself, but if this thing doesn't happen, I am so confident in just switching and making a new decision. I'm so confident in tuning into my intuition and just like letting it all flow. And part of that going with the flow is that radical awareness or radical change in your relationship with defining your thoughts, right? It's that ability to just stop judging what you're going through and just experience it like with a completely clear lens, like without defining what you're going through. That's how I find the joy in my life. That's how I find the balance in my life where I can run a business and be a mom and do my own things and not get consumed and have a miscarriage, but still show up and still smile and still joke and have fun and still be sad at the same time, like hold all of it because I can go with the flow and because I refuse to label or define what I'm going through as good or bad. And that is like every cell of my body for 6-ish years now. So this is not something that like happened overnight. Yes, I guess back then, like it happened instantly overnight. I kind of had this like awakening where I realized this, but it's been practice. It's been a muscle that's been practiced very, very well for the last 6 years. So with that, with finding that balance, I'm ability to do things like practice self-care, right? Because I have that autonomy to be like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do what I want. I want to get a massage today, so I'm going to go get it, right? It allows me to say, you know what? I want to take a last minute vacation to visit my mom. I'm going to go freaking do it. And it's really embracing that flow, embracing that flexibility. And then every single step of the way, practicing gratitude, being grateful for what you're going through and not some, you know, spiritual high road, fake positivity, everything is positive. No, it's like being grateful for the shit also. Being grateful for crying your face off. Being grateful for losing people you love. Being grateful for losing babies that you never got to meet, right? It's not being happy all the time. It's like being grateful for the happiness and the sadness and the stress and the peace and all of it and letting it flow through you without trying to define it all of the time. That is what's most helpful for me. That is how I manage and balance joy, grief, happiness, hatred, the roller coaster, not only of motherhood, but womanhood and personhood and entrepreneurship. So I hope you can take some of the lessons that I chatted with you about today and, you know, take what you love, leave what you don't, and maybe just practice a little bit more of mindfulness and non-judgment in your day, in your week, and see how it feels, see how it changes you. And if you try and you think that you fail, just know that there's really no such thing as failure, right? It's just lessons learned and trying, and go back to those first questions and just reconnect with your why and seek support and have that self-talk that is positive. And that doesn't mean that you're faking happiness, right? All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to say hello, you're always welcome to shoot me a DM over on Instagram. My business Instagram is Birthworker Podcast, and my personal Instagram is The Autonomy Mommy. So if you want to let me know what you think of this episode, you're more than welcome to shoot me a DM at The Autonomy Mommy. And I will see you guys back here next week.